The following is intended for bizarre audiences only. Welcome to the Midnight Library.
Irma, puppet. Irma, put the fire poker down and listen to Mommy. Listen, sweetheart. Mr. Darling had to be tranquilized to have his toenails trimmed, and he's too loopy to be trusted with a lone guest. So I want you to see the guest in safely for Mommy, all right? Irma.
I want to give them a gift.
You will, if you can give them a gift. Irma, what? A dead rat. Sure, why not? I'll think of something to explain it, and you just have fun, sugar booger. Welcome, my dear guest. Thank you, Irma. Good girl. How lovely to see you. My word, you do look a little peaked. Did you have a disturbing walk through Phantom Forest? Irma. Gave you something. Oh, what a little sweetheart she is. A what? A dead rat. Well, what did you do to it? You must have done something. I'm sure she would only give you a living pet rat. Oh, no. Oh, well. Don't feel too badly about it. We're very forgiving around here. So please, don't worry. Here, please take your seat beside me here by the fireplace, and everything will be just fine. Mr. Darling. Oh, yes. pardon me. He's here on the property. He's having a little slumber down at his den at the stables. Some much-needed alone time, you know. Oh, look! Already, here's our Natasha with our tea. Natasha tells me that this evening's brew is somehow both invigorating and yet calming. A special blend. Right, Natasha? Natasha, would you like to tell our dear guest just what you've put in their tea? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. I guess not. That's all right. Thank you, Natasha. Thank you. She is one of a kind, our Natasha. Oh, my. I want to thank you for taking such a keen interest in our previous reading on sacred tattoos, my dear. It seems to be a subject that so many humans are interested in. It is a rather brave and unusual thing to do, if you think of it, to embed one's only skin with colored inks in an artful way, and put one's flesh on display. Well, you know, in earlier times, in the 1800s, which were more demure times, when people were in the habit of keeping nearly every inch of their bare skin covered with full dress suits and long dresses of fine clothing. Well, back then, It was the talk of the town if a woman should, totally by accident, let one or both of her uncovered ankles show. It was also a time when attending fantastical circuses filled with ferocious animals, comical clowns, and troops of daring acrobats became all the rage. These performers, for safety's sake, often wore snug-fitting leotards whilst balancing on tightropes and hurling themselves from high-strung trapeze swings over the heads of their awestruck onlookers. Just seeing the true form of other human beings without the many layers of poofy clothing was part of the thrill of attending these colorful nomadic shows. Often included in the traveling groups of entertainers were people with unique physical abilities. Strong men were always a popular attraction. These large, muscle-bound men often appeared before their audiences wearing a single wild animal pelt to cover the more intimate parts of their anatomy, while they bent iron bars with their bare hands and hoisted over their heads ever-increasingly heavy people and animals and barbells, with the number of pounds being lifted brightly painted upon them, sending the watching crowd into fits of applause. P.T. Barnum was one of the first to discover that crowds of people would pay handsomely just to see other people who had some kind of rare talent, or if they looked striking or peculiar in some way. Well, people would pay just to stare at them for a few minutes. Of all of the animals on Earth, people are the most popular animals with other people. Back then, extremely large people, tall people, little people, or those with some physical abnormality, be it anything from exceptionally long hair to an extra arm or leg, would unbelievably sit behind a lowered curtain that would slowly rise to reveal them to wide-eyed spectators who stumbled along in a line before them, just to stare at the wonder of the unusual person for a few seconds. I know this now sounds barbaric, and I agree with you, but these truly were very different times, my love, and I suppose one of the more comforting facts I can tell you is that more often than not, being on display in this, what we would consider to be demeaning way, often gave many of these people, some who could neither read nor write, something they would have had very little chance of commonly getting, a decent income. Some were actually very proud of their unique physicalities and even sold autographed pictures of themselves to what they considered to be their fans. This was the way the world worked at this time. Contortionists were very popular also at these traveling shows. They, too, wore very little whilst twisting themselves into the most unbelievable positions before the eyes of the stands full of viewers, dressed from head to toe in their elaborate, fully covered style clothing. During this time, someone noticed that if the man performing some feat of strength or another had a few tattoos, The audience was even more enthralled with him. People who attended the shows would then tell others, "Oh, you must certainly go to the show, Miss Ethel. Make sure you pay a nickel to see Stavros the Strong Man. He has lots of tattoos and can lift a workhorse over his head." Soon, for some, the tattoos alone were enough of a draw to pull in a paying audience. Average people at this time had never seen so much human flesh, let alone flesh that was fantastically decorated with bizarre and whimsical and strange images. One of the first men to make a living by being on display to show his tattoos was Jean-Baptiste Capri. He was a Frenchman who deserted his post in the military and then fled to the Pacific Islands to avoid capture. People lived much more daring lives back then, don't you think? While there, Capri willingly lived with the Marquesas tribe and even fell in love with and married one of their women. The Marquesas, who were exotic, rugged, seafaring Polynesian people, fully accepted Capri and decorated his body with meaningful tribal tattoos that signified his status as both a man and as a member of their specific tribe. When a group of Russian explorers landed on the island and discovered Capri, he was talked into returning to Europe and found work as an oddity on display as part of a touring carnival. There are etchings from 1813 of the famously tattooed Jean-Baptiste Capri, with a distinctly Polynesian hairstyle, wrapped only in a towel-like loincloth, proudly posing to show his full array of parallel line tattoos running across his arms and shoulders, his many perfect spirals curling down his bare arms and legs, and even dark rectangles of tattooed patches of ink driven beneath the skin of his chest, abdomen, and face. He looks both snappy and proud in his etchings. Another daring gentleman who was the first of his kind to be on tour as a member of P.T. Barnum's circus in America was James F. O'Connell. Only the story of his tattoos isn't quite as pleasant as Mr. Capri's. O'Connell, who had become shipwrecked, was a captured prisoner on the Caroline Islands, also located in the South Pacific. It is thought that he survived by being entertaining to the islanders, by dancing Irish jigs for their amusement. And when they became less entertained by him skipping around, they amused themselves by forcibly tattooing O'Connell all over his body over a period of 8 days. Unbelievably, they also forced him then to marry one of the women who helped force the tattoos on him. How odd. Anyway, after surviving another 5 years on the remote island, he too was rescued and then transported back to America, where he joined Barnum's Circus to stand center stage. From the looks of the renderings, to appear fully dressed in gentlemanly clothes, and then slowly, he would reveal his native style line and dot tattoos by coyly rolling up his sleeves and then unbuttoning his white dress shirt before the crowd. By now, you must be wondering, my dear guest. And yes, you are correct. It didn't take too long until women soon joined their male counterparts in the circus and sideshow acts to put their rarefied female physiques boldly on display for people of all ages to pay to gawk at. The very first woman known to support herself by doing this was 25-year-old Nora Hildebrandt. Nora was apparently clever enough to know, or was convinced by others into understanding, that she could garner far more attention and attract many more paying audience members if the story of how her young flesh came to be awash in so many strange markings was compelling and even controversial for the times. So Miss Hildebrandt, when showing her hundreds and hundreds of both peculiar and artistic tattoos, proclaimed that she had been kidnapped and forcibly tattooed against her will by a savage Midwestern tribe of Lakota Indians. And while this tale did serve to enthrall her onlookers, it was far from the actual truth, which was also somewhat hazy, but still true. Miss Hildebrandt was actually from London, England, and was bedecked with all of her incredible tattoos by her partner or common-law husband, Mr. Martin Hildebrandt, who some believe was actually her father? Oh well. He was, in any case, a truly semi-famous tattoo artist himself, noted for tattooing countless Civil War soldiers, keen to commemorate their battles on their skin as permanent self-memorials of their war experiences. And Nora became the first woman to go on display in a pretty pleated onesie-style garment that left the entirety of her neck, shoulders, back, arms, and legs clear up to her barely covered bottom, out in the open, covered in an unbelievable menagerie of unrelated, strange symbols and zigzags, faces, plants, hearts, and even ships for all to see. She was, quite frankly, amazing. And this was completely astonishing for these austere times. Scandalous even. Now, when it came to the tattoo game in the 1800s, infamy was the key to fame, and one of the most infamous at the time was a large, dark, and handsome Greek gent with thick black hair and a tremendous black beard named Prince Constantine, or George Constantine, or George Constantinus, or Captain Constantinus, or Captain Constantinus. It depended, you know. In any case, he was most famous for being tattooed everywhere on his body, with the exception of two places, his ears and the soles of his feet. Every other patch of skin on every other part of him was decorated with bountiful bright blue and red tattoos, which were said to have been created from inks blended with indigo dye and mineralized cinnabar. The impressively tattooed man of many names led an extraordinary life, making it easy to mingle facts with fiction when he was presented before the eyes of his awestruck crowds of viewers. Whether he was captured and tattooed by ruthless Chinese warriors, or sailing the seas as a dastardly pirate, or imprisoned and tattooed by the Royal Burmese Army while searching for gold, which is most likely. From the 1870s on, Captain Costantinus strode around the circus ring in a brilliant red cape and boisterously flashed his bizarre markings of wild animals, weird symbols, plants and flowers, and even curious Burmese tattooed writing on his hands and fingers that, when translated, proclaimed, he was probably a man of poor character. Even if this was true, his 388 tattoos made him one of the wealthiest men around at the time, with some records showing he was paid as much as $1,000 a week whilst on display. He traveled the globe, diving right into the middle of all manner of daring do's. His exceptional history is colorful, to say the least, and the images of him alone are worth your time to look up. After 1894, he disappears from the record books. And last, but certainly not least, my dear guest, I think you should know about a lovely tattooed lady, the famous Lady Viola. Billed as the most beautiful tattooed woman in the world, Viola certainly was a very attractive woman. She was born in 1898 as Ethel Martin Vanjie. It is believed that in order to support herself and her young son after her first marriage ended, Ethel, soon to become the Lady Viola, underwent extensive tattooing by the talented tattooist Frank Graff. And that's just the thing. Viola's tattoos, unlike the many tattooed ladies before her, weren't a splatter of random images. Oh no. Viola's tattoos were relevant. They had mass appeal and sentimental value and context. And they were laid out all over her skin in a specifically designed plan. She appeared before the crowds displaying what was called a suit of beautiful tattooed artworks. Embedded large across her back was the United States Capitol Monument. Each of her shapely legs showed a detailed rendering of the Rock of Ages and the Statue of Liberty. She had glorious flags, stars, and winding vines of flowers. Viola also had something that was just coming into style within the tattoo arena at this later date. Viola had portraits. High-quality, easily recognized portraits permanently inked on her feminine physique. And since the art of photography was well underway in the 1920s and 30s, you yourself can see or even purchase the still much sought-after photos of Viola to see for yourself the impressive images on her skin of entertainers like film stars Tom Mix and Charlie Chaplin, and several presidents across her chest, being Wilson, Washington, and our favorite, Mr. Lincoln. There isn't an unflattering photo of Lady Viola to be found. She's happily smiling in every picture, and obviously very proud of her exotic suit of amazing tattoos. Viola passed away in 1977. And unbelievably, in her written obituary, there was no mention of her incredible career as a human work of art. On a happier note, there are stories of her marrying again as she toured to a sideshow giant, a literal giant, Captain Gulliver, who stood 8'3" tall. So that's sweet, right? I probably shouldn't tell you this, but there's a rumor that there's a giant in Phantom Forest. An enormous being, a kind of lost soul that haunts the lonely roads nearby, doing unspeakable things to anyone he encounters. But as you know, there's hardly ever any truth to the rumors about anyone or anything here on the grounds of the Midnight Library. So, I'll tell you something that is true, my dear guest. If I ever die, they'd better not leave the fact that I opened the Midnight Library for all of you out of my obituary. That would be a mistake, I can tell you. Excuse me. I do get carried away. Now, thank you so much for visiting for tea with me, my lovely. Irma should be around here somewhere to see you to the door safely. You be careful as you pass through the forest and walk the lonely road back to where you've come from. Good night, my dear guest. Good night. Irma, you turd monkey, where were you hiding?
I'm playing with the giant.
You were playing with the giant? Oh, no. Irma, you clever thing. Here, baby doll, here's the other half of your dead rat.
What?
I saved the front half for you, and I put the back half in our guest's coat pocket. They don't need an entire dead rat. And, well, I only want the best for my baby. Tickle, tickle, tickle! The Midnight Library is brought to you by our spooky, lovely patrons. We would like to thank everyone at Astonishing Legends. Our excellent sound design is by Chris at Sounds Like an Earful. If you are enjoying your visits and would like the Midnight Library to remain open, we ask that you please join our Patreon for a small contribution. Here's how it works. You carefully investigate our Patreon page, find the tier that suits you to a T, and make certain that your notifications are on. Then the direct lines of communication between you and I will open. Then I will welcome you directly, and you will receive your mostly non-hexed Midnight Library goodies in the post. You'll get a signed letter, stickers, bookmarks, and even your own special library card. The higher the tier, the more extensive your goodies will be. There's also early ad-free readings and personal postings from inside my quarters in the library. Please visit patreon.com/midnightlibrary. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our wonderfully weird merch can be found at redbubble.com /people/midnightlibrary.